My name is John Marchada, and this is the Gunpowder Plot Show, also known as the Guy Fawkes Podcast. I am wondering at this point if my intro song and the way that I start this podcast, if they sync up well to listen. Like, the way that I listen to it is not going to be the same that, like, how you guys do. I don't even know if it really gives me the opportunity to do it. I have to go back out to, like, something like CastBox. I go to CastBox for all of my other podcasts to listen to. I'm actually pretty proud of myself. I almost forgot about the podcast tonight. It's been a crazy week and a half or so. Oh, I didn't get my water. Just finished up a nice little workout. Finally remembered to do that too. And now I'm thirsty. So I'm going to go for the next hour, which I was trying to get this in early too. All sorts of stuff happening. But anyway, that's boring. So, as I'm doing this podcast, I'm actually going to be looking up if Trump announced. Oh, I can just go to True Social. Boom. If Trump announced his run for presidency. Come on. Use his cookies. Fine. Use cookies all you want. Be the cookie monster. I don't care. The crowd is revving him up, so he must be on stage right now. Donald Trump delivers major primetime announcement from Mar-a-Lago on 2024. Declares that he will be running for... Okay, so he does. He did. Maybe? This is from Conservative Brief? Let's see. I mean, we all knew this was going to happen. I want him to run. I want to see what a second term looks like, and I, as well as you, and I don't think that I heard John Doyle, which I'm going to talk about his video here in a minute. I don't think I heard in John Doyle's video him discuss this part, which is Trump is free from having to campaign, and that makes him pretty powerful when in a coming into presidency. As it is right now, you can only have 2 terms, which is what I like. I mean, I think we all kind of have that natural instinct to want a good leader to stay in for as long as you can have them. And I'll confess that I would want that too. I'd much rather have a good leader in there for multiple terms, even though I talk about term limits, but like I said, I'm confessing, and this is a bit of a contradiction that I have that I'm okay with, is that if they are a good leader, which, you know, what is that? What's the definition of a good leader? I think we're all going to have different definitions for what that may look like. Mine is going to be someone who unapologetically defends the integrity of the human being, being that of being somebody who abolishes and outlaws abortion altogether. We live in a day in a very evil generation when people, not only do they want access to it, they promote it. They applaud it. It is a disgusting thing that we have. It's a cancer on our society. That we have people that are so so in support of the murdering of innocent babies. It's just, I don't know, I guess I'm at a loss for words to a degree of how bad it is. But anyway, so my definition of a good leader would be somebody who would do that, who would get out of all wars, who would bring back all of our military bases, all of our military personnel, all of our weaponry, all of the aspects of war, bring them all out of all other nations with the exception of agreed upon with other nations, embassies in those other nations, bring back all of ours and divided amongst all of the militias of each state And not only do that, but I mean, first and foremost, you would have to promote those militias, which you don't see. I can't remember the last time. I don't know, maybe Trump did and I missed it, but I don't remember the last time I remember hearing, how many times is she going to say remember? Remember hearing a president promote the militias, which are constitutionally protected, constitutionally promoted. So you would need a leader to do that, first and foremost, and then to divide all of the aspects of war amongst all of that, you know, whatever personnel that you have, you know, wherever they're from, they get to go back home and serve in their own militias. You know, a leader who brings as much peace as possible, but especially in today's society, we don't have people that can get along for shit. I mean, I talked about it in my episode prior to this, that I don't want to stand side by side with these liberal leftists, communists, socialists. I want nothing to do with them. I think that they hate our country. I think that we are diametrically opposed to one another on every issue. I think that these are, quite frankly, evil fucking people. I don't stand with them. I really don't consider them my brothers in the United States. I don't consider them sons and daughters of the United States of America. It's just how I feel, you know. If somebody would come along with an argument that could change my mind on that, by all means. But these are people who burn the flag, who hate the country, who want to see the overthrow of our country, not just the government, but the country as a whole, who hate me, who hate my children, who hate our skin color, who hate our religion, who claim to be tolerant, and yet hate everything about me without knowing me at all. And I just hate their ideology, and I don't want to be around them. You know, quite frankly, I don't want any harm to come to them, but I don't want to be around them, and I don't consider them my brothers and sisters in my country, which is a sad, sad state of affairs. It really is. So, but all of that being, you know, and much more than that, I think being the qualities of a good leader that I would, selfishly want to see have more than just two, terms as president. But how the state of affairs are now is that we have term limits. And the reason that I say that I want term limits is not so much for the good people as much as it is for the bad people, and to de-incentivize people to become career politicians like Nancy Pelosi, like Chuck Schumer, like Mitch McConnell, like John Kerry, like Hillary Clinton, like Joe Biden. You know, these worthless pieces of shit who were in office for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years and did nothing positive for our country, but rather harmed its citizens quite a bit. So so to get back to it, Trump, it looks like he did announce his candidacy for president in 2024. Donald Trump announces he's running for president in 2024. Did he do it or did he not? Again, this is from Martin Walsh. I wonder if he has any relation to Matt Walsh, who I'm going to talk about here in a little bit, from the Conservative Brief. Never heard of it. Or maybe I have, I just never really, hasn't stuck out. Well, speaking from his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, Trump announced that he will be running for president in 2024. America's comeback starts right now, Trump said to a room full of supporters. Unlike other presidents, I kept my promises, which is pretty much true. I mean, we didn't get the wall built. You didn't fully defend the Second Amendment. I think you added more support to it than had been prior. But the bump stock ban, sorry, homie, you're adding regulations to guns. And although some people would look at that and go, oh, that's being petty. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You open that door and a flood of other regulations are sure to follow. So, no, leave guns alone. And in fact, take away regulations from guns. Lift any bans of guns in cities like I mentioned earlier, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, any of these Democrat strongholds. But yeah, so for Trump, like I said, he gets a second term. He's got a power unlike DeSantis. And it's not as though I hate DeSantis. I don't. I like him quite a bit. I've talked about how he did what he was supposed to do. And sadly, in today's society, that is looked upon as like being a hero. And it's like he did what he was supposed to do. Now, I talk that way in part because of John Doyle's video that he put out. This is funny to say because he's somebody who's younger than me. And I think it's hard for me to admit this. You know, I think it's just because of my ego. But I think he'd work circles around me if we had a debate. I don't think there's much that we can debate on. We're both Catholic. You know what? I think that there would be because I think I lean more libertarian than he would like, and maybe would find a disagreement there, but smart kid. And he kind of revitalized in me the support for Trump. You know, I still have my, like I just said, I still have my critiques of him. He did some things that I think, and by the way, so did John Doyle. He's got critiques of him, but that's what you do. You know, he's not God. He's not Jesus. He's not, you know, who I worship. He's a human being and he's fallible. And, you know, a tremendous amount of expectations are put on him. And, you know, I can't think of anybody who could fill all of those to an effect. Although I think a libertarian candidate, much like Dave Smith, would come closest to that. And isn't that kind of a walk back from what I just said about supporting Trump? However, I think Trump's got the best chance of winning, even in an atmosphere in which Democrats blatantly go out and steal elections. Again, another thing that I'm about to talk about as soon as I'm done with this. I think Trump has the absolute best chance of winning. I don't see DeSantis doing it. I don't think DeSantis can pull in the number that Trump can. I think he would get a boost if he won out the Republican candidacy. But I really don't like the arguments going back and forth. I don't see them helping Trump. But I do also, and John Doyle actually pointed this out in his video, and his video is called The Plotted Undoing of the Trump Revolution, and then dash, be careful. And that's from Heck Off Commie, which is his... it's his YouTube channel. And in fact, he just had a debate with Hunter Avalon, who is a pompous, smug little shit that says he used to be a Republican and now is like some liberal or lefty that runs his mouth and is just somebody you want to beat the shit out of. You just want to fucking slap the snot out of this little piss ant. So they had a debate, I guess it was tonight. It looks like they put it on 12 hours ago. This is actually on Hunter Avalon's channel. I don't know if John has put it up on his. It looks like maybe John Doyle's show is just called Heck Off Commie, Heck Off Commie, but his channel is John Doyle, spelled J-O-H-N, much like myself, and Doyle, D-O-Y-L-E. If you want to go check that out. So I highly suggest doing that. He has got some really good stuff. I'm actually going to see if I can put some of his videos on the website because he has got some breakdowns. I mean, this kid talks so well, so elegantly, and rarely stops. Holy shit. Can I get this? Give it. Let's see. Sorry, I'm... Oh, fuck that. No, nope, nope, nope. Sorry, I had something that came up for work. Any hizzle. What's nice about having this mic in is I don't think when when I get a notification that it buzzes over the microphone, which is nice. So, here we go. Oh, excuse me. Ooh, Nick Fuentes on John Doyle. I'd like to see what that's all about. I can only imagine that Nick Fuentes is a lot better than people make him out to be. From what I've seen, he seems pretty level-headed. But he did start, like, kind of hanging out with Destiny. Destiny's such a fucking twat. I can't stand people on the left anymore, man. I just can't. Even Sitch and Adam, man. I'm starting to become such Oh, so sickened by them. I was listening to their show earlier, in which they covered the Matt Walsh interview on Joe Rogan. And Matt Walsh and Joe Rogan got into the marriage debate. Well, for, I guess first they covered the tranny discussion that Joe Rogan and Matt Walsh had. And this is such, for normal people, this is such an easy understanding. It's like, no. The man cannot be a woman. I don't give a flying fuck what you think. I don't give a shit what how sad you get or how fucking depressed if you threaten to go kill yourself. I don't care. A man cannot be a woman. Fuck off. Pretty simple. And yet, this absolutely triggers people like Sam Cedar. And it's funny to watch that you have Sitch and Adam who are covering Sam Cedar's reaction to Matt Walsh and Joe Rogan. And Matt Walsh and Joe Rogan were making really good points. However, there's a couple of screw-ups that Sam Cedar picked up on, which was Joe asked Matt Walsh, like, how many kids are on puberty blockers? And Matt Walsh came up and said, well, I guess I would think it's in the millions. In the live podcast or whatever, Sitch looked it up. It was like 16 or 18,000. But the whole thing of it is that Sam Cedar keeps claiming that Matt Walsh is a self-proclaimed expert on the issue of trannyism, which I don't think is a real word. I think that's just maybe one that I coined, but I'm okay with it because I feel like it might hurt feelings, and I'm fine with that. But I don't think he's ever said that he's an expert on it. He just made a documentary. He just pointed out how ridiculous this is. And he said time and time again that the reason that he throws his hat into the ring of this debate is because he cares about the truth. And you fucking people turning this shit upside down is not a world that he wants to live in. So he's going to push back against it, which I completely support. You know, there's some things that I think I would disagree with Matt Walsh on, but for the most part, especially on the tranny bullshit and the what is a woman thing, I am in total support of him. Same with same-sex marriage. I do not believe that. I mean, I go a step further. I don't believe that anybody that isn't religious should be getting married. I come from a 100% religious standpoint. You don't like it? Do you think I give a fuck? You know, I don't think you give two shits if you disagree with that, and I have a problem with it. I don't think you care. So, in likewise fashion, I could give a shit if you hate the fact that I believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman because God made it so. So, that's where I stand. I wish Matt Walsh, and that's maybe one part that I could have disagreed with Matt. Like, I've seen his take on, you know, after the interview and him getting some hate back and him explaining where he came from. And he was like, well, you know, I'm talking to somebody that isn't religious. Yeah, okay. And Joe's a cunt. Joe has always been a cunt. He was actually quite nice to Matt, but that's because the left is turning on Joe. Because Joe is a fucking snake in the grass. Go, like, yeah, fuck anybody. If you listen to me by chance and you end up on the Joe Rogan podcast and you're religious, go from your point of view. Don't try to meet him halfway. That's what Joe has a whole reputation of. He somehow, some way makes people meet him on his terms. Stop doing that. And stop doing that with anyone. Don't let people drag you over to their side to have to argue on their terms. Fuck their terms. We're the ones that created this world, not fucking them. We created the greatest country ever known to humankind. Stop letting them beat you down and make you think that we didn't. Stop having them think, make you think that the world should be like how they want it. Because what they do, look at the world around us now. They've been in charge of every major institution of the government now for 2 years, and prior to the 4 years with Trump, they've been on a streak of what? Man, I don't even know if I can include Reagan or not. Well, over a decade or two, you know. And look at how bad it's been getting. This is their world. that they are making it into. So the only way that you can fix it is to stop playing on their terms. So when it comes to same-sex marriage, there should be none. I do not agree with that. That's how I. Now, in terms of a secular government, okay, yeah, there should be no laws against what one or more people wants to do that doesn't hurt someone else or the environment involuntarily or voluntarily, involuntarily. But that's in a secular government where you have a government that is arguably ruled under the Constitution. What we're seeing now is, and what we've been headed towards, which is the problem, is a communist, socialist hybrid government, which is really just a communist government. But anyway, I feel like I might be getting too far into the weeds and I'm almost too tired. Where was I going with all that? Oh, yeah. Sitchin Adam. So they got past the tranny bullshit, which they're kind of on the same side of. Let me point this out. No child should be on puberty blockers at all. Once you're an adult, you want to do whatever the fuck you want to do, have at it. And that's what Joe Rogan, and this is where I agree with him, Joe Rogan and Matt Walsh's stake was. And Matt Walsh's argument is that, like, the left is pushing this on kids. Sam Cedar was, like, fucking livid about this. Like, he picked up on the one thing that Matt Walsh was like, oh, yeah, I think it's in the millions. It turns out it was only a couple thousand. And then he turned around later and was like, oh, yeah, it's 100,000 or whatever. It's not really a big deal. But Sam Cedar picks up on it. And he's like, how can you have this so-called self-proclaimed expert on here? And he doesn't even know the numbers and this, that, and the other. But it's like, dude, he never said he was an expert. He's just out here pointing out the hypocrisy and the ridiculousness of it. You're the one getting all fucking bent out of shape because he's got pushback against you, little bitch ass, you fucking four-eyed little hat-wearing faggot. By the way, Sam Cedar does not wear a little hat. He is Jewish, but he is not a practicing Jew. He is a cunt and has been one for quite some time. And I believe he is atheist, as far as I understand. But anyway, no matter, he's a twat. So that's what he was getting real pissed off about. And no, I agree with. And what's so strange is that he wants this. Like, Sam Cedar calls Matt Walsh a bigot because he doesn't want kids to be on puberty blockers. It's starting to come out that these puberty blockers, you can't. Dude, anybody that didn't know this from the get-go is retarded. You fuck with a kid's natural development. They're not going to get that back. They're going to abnormally develop. This is in anything. It's like the Chinese trend for women when they would stick their they would put on those small wooden shoes because small feet were the trend. There was the fad, right? For however long, I don't even know if it's still going on. But it would fuck up their feet. Have you ever seen pictures and shit of these poor women? That because they wanted to have small feet and these fucking shoes they'd cram their feet into, and then what their feet looked like after they were mangled, absolutely mangled. It's because they fucked with the development of their feet, and they're still going to develop a certain way. It's just not going to be the natural, normal way. Same as with these puberty blockers. You block a kid's puberty, they're still going to develop in a certain way. And then when you try to, like, they try to pretend as if you can reverse it, you can't reverse that. Who's just texting me? Stop texting me. Is this the same one, you fuckers? Show enough. Quit texting me. Sorry, that's aggravating. So yeah, no kid should be on puberty blocker. Sam Cedar and the left wants to put kids on these damn things. Let me point this out too. Republicans, the majority Republicans will go along with it. If the left, if there's not people who are strong enough, who have a strong enough backbone to push back against this outside of the Republican Party, the left will get their way and the Republicans will go along with it. That's the state of affairs we find ourselves in today. You know how I know? Well, because we got same-sex marriage. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, John Kerry, all the bigwigs, all the big names anyway, at one point were against same-sex marriage. They came out to say that marriage was defined as one man, one woman. And now it's not. And did the Republicans really do anything? No. Because the Republicans are basically worthless until you have somebody like Trump come along, or MTG, or Boebert. Boebert's awesome. Love her to death. Ron Paul, you know. Jim, why can't I think of his name, from Ohio. He was a wrestler. Jim Jordan. I would have said Clay. Was his name Clay? I would have said him, but he kind of went the way of the neocon. Not neocon, but just, yeah, neocon, I guess. So the Republicans are basically worthless. They need their party to fucking slap them into line and get their asses in shape and give them a backbone. Give their balls back to them. But, And that's the thing about Trump. That's what we must look at in terms of why Trump should get in, is because he invigorates the populace. He rejuvenates us to want to reinstitute. Why isn't this still going? Sorry. To reinstitute the Constitution and liberty and the American spirit within all of us. That's what he does. And he does it to his own party. Biden, I almost said Brock. Biden is right to go after the MAGA Republicans because that's the wave of the future. The wave of the future? What the fuck? Why can't I think of phrases? What's wrong with me? Is it the wave of the future? No. That's the party of the future? Whatever, dude. MAGA Republicans are the future of the Republican Party. That's basically what I meant. And they are. They need to not get bogged down. They need to not let themselves get demoralized with all this shit. They need to keep at it, you know? But they need to get stronger. And they need to... But not just MAGA Republicans. Fuck the Republican aspect of it. MAGA. Call him MAGA. I don't give a fuck. Biden's right to go after him because it's the most dangerous thing to him. And there's a lot of us out there, man. A ton of us. You know, once we start, really moving, we're going to have a lot of momentum behind us. And, I don't know. Anyway, sorry, I was like getting into a thought there, and I need to not do that because you guys need to hear me talk the whole time. And dead air is not good for podcasts. So check out John Doyle's video. He's got the debate that's coming up. I will say this: Trump needs to stop debating. I'm sorry, stop arguing with DeSantis. I think I already said that. He needs to stop doing it because it doesn't help his cause. However, that's what I was getting to earlier. The establishment Republicans are pitting DeSantis against him. Trump was absolutely in the right to go after Fox News. He sniffed that out quick, fast, and in a hurry because he was right. Fox News has been promoting DeSantis over Trump. Did you notice that? That's why Trump went after DeSantis in the first place. He's right to do it, but at the same time, it's like, I don't like seeing it because it doesn't really help. Although, maybe it does help in the sense that he's not getting broadsided by this DeSantis support. And what I have noticed is a lot of people fucking putting out little voting things on like YouTube comment section, on Twitter, on Facebook, you know, who would you vote for? Trump or DeSantis? That's on purpose. This is a purposeful intent to try and knock Trump off his pedestal. I don't think it's necessarily going to work. I think that Trump has a lot more support behind him than DeSantis. And again, what did DeSantis do? He did what he was supposed to do. That's it. He did what he was supposed to do. Has he had a couple of back and forths that looked like he had a little bit more of a spine than other people when it came to the press? Sure. But outside of that, what did he do? He did what he was supposed to do. Great. Good for you. Other than, and you didn't hear about DeSantis until after Trump. And Trump just came out to blast DeSantis and say, "You came to me asking me for my recommendation for you, you little shit. You know, now you're gonna fucking act as though you can take this from me? Get fucked." Ah, and I still don't like it. And DeSantis should have known better. DeSantis should have, and he's absolutely right because DeSantis was asked in his debate, by the Democrat guy, if he was going to run for, if he was going to serve his full 4 years term, and he didn't want to answer, and that was bad on DeSantis. DeSantis should have said, "I have every intent to serve out the 4 years. I have no intent to run in against Trump in the presidential election." DeSantis should have sat the fuck down and shut his fucking mouth. 100%. This is Donald Trump's party. It ain't DeSantis's. He might have done something good during 2 years of lockdown. But outside of that, you need to shut the fuck up and sit the fuck down. You need to run your state the way you should, the way that you've been, and don't be fucking around with the presidential bullshit. And everybody else needs to do the same. You all need to fucking settle down when it comes to DeSantis. Because if you want any chance of getting that presidency back, if you want any chance of DeSantis actually becoming president, you need to let Trump do it first. Because what they just did to Kari Lake, you think Trump's going to lay down again? He knows what to expect this time. He didn't the first time through. Now, I'm not saying that he's like invincible, you know, indestructible. But I sure as shit don't see, I don't see DeSantis doing anything against, I don't see him doing anything more than Trump did when he got the election stolen from him. And I don't see DeSantis bringing in the number that Trump already had. Again, Trump revitalized this nation. He revitalized the support for America at a time when the people in power hated this government, were selling it out left, right, and center, and their supporters, the Democrats, the liberal leftist Democrats, hate it, were burning flags left and right. They didn't give a fuck. They don't like this country. They don't love this country. They've been indoctrinated by their communist professors and teachers throughout all of their, you know, 12, K through 12, and then also, you know, 4 to 8 years of college, however long they went. They've been told the whole time that America is a terrible place and it's racist and it stole the land from the peaceful Indians and this, that, and the other. They hate this place. And then Trump came along and he said before this, "The only way that I'm going to run," people kept saying, "Are you going to run or are you gonna..." "No, I'm not going to run unless I feel the need to run, feel like, unless I feel I have to." Then he came out and you know what he is. There's really no hiding what Trump is. Like, all of his dirt's out there, all of his dirty laundry's out there. So I know this has become a real big pep rally for Trump anyway. So in much like DeSantis, look at it, and what I think would more than likely happen if DeSantis won over Trump somehow, some way, in the primary, is exactly what happened to Kari Lake in Arizona. It looks like, now I don't, I guess we still don't know for certain if Katie Hobbs has absolutely officially taken it. I keep seeing little stuff here and there of like, "Oh, this happened. Oh, this happened. Ooh, here's a surprise." But this treasurer in Arizona who won it, who was a Republican, her name is Kimberly Yee. She won it, won her the treasurer position with 1.37 million. So 100 or 1,370,000 plus votes. Again, 1,370,000 plus votes. Kari Lake got 1,250,000 plus votes. Do you know who Kimberly Yee is? Have you ever heard her name? I haven't. Until today. Carrie Lake, I've been hearing for quite some time. Not just because she was a news anchor, and I think I'd only seen heard her name like once or twice. I might have heard it more than that, but didn't recognize it or realize it. But I certainly knew she was running for governor of Arizona. You know, especially within the last few months. And I live in Michigan, you know. I know people down in Tennessee that know Carrie Lake. You know, I know people down in Louisiana. I know people all over the place that know who Carrie Lake is. Nobody fucking knows Kimberly Yee. What I mean by all of this is that Carrie Lake should have had more votes than the treasurer. And in fact, that usually works out that way. Many, many, many people go and vote primarily for the names that they know. A lot of people will vote like straight Republican or straight Democrat too. So in those terms where you have a lot of people that are coming in voting straight ticket, you'll see the same numbers for both in that area, obviously. However, when you have people who are voting for the big names that they know, they tend to not vote. Not all of them, but if one of the two is going to not get votes, it's going to be somebody like treasurer, like in this case. And even like congresspeople and shit. They're going to have less than the big name governor or senator or whatever in the state. And in this case, it's Carrie Lake. Everybody knows Carrie Lake. People in fucking New York know Carrie Lake. You know what I mean? Nobody knows fucking Kimberly Yee. And Kimberly Lee, Yee, whatever, somehow gets, what is that, 12,000? Nah, 120,000? Gets more votes by a lot than Carrie Lake. No. No. Mm-mm. Yeah, 120,000. No, that doesn't make sense. And she wins, by the way. Kimberly Yee wins. How does that work out? Where the governor of the state gets more, the Democratic governor candidate, Democratic candidate for governor gets more votes in Katie Hobbs, but whoever ran against Kimberly Yee didn't get more? How does that work? It doesn't. So there's a lot of vote discrepancies. I really hope I made sense when I described all that. I feel like I didn't. See, this is what happens after a long day and doing things and then working out right before. I swear I have not smoked any weed before this episode. And then here's kind of segueing into, although that was a shitty segue, it was a hard stop really, into election results in places like here in Michigan where somehow, some way, Democrats won everything. And I mean fucking everything with the exception of a few Republican seats in like the Congress or whatever. I'm hearing a lot of rumors of the reinstitution of COVID mandates. I think people are going to be a hell of a lot more resistant this time around. You know, because we all see how much of a foolish endeavor it was in the first place. You know, I was talking earlier on the prior episode about, I think it was on that one, about, you know, wearing masks in the doctor's office, you know, sitting there going, no, no. Do you want me to? No. Okay, cool. I won't do it. Because we all know that the masks are worthless. They don't do shit all. Nothing. This is going to be a short episode, by the way. Yeah, I gotta go hop in the shower. And what's so sad about that is that you're hearing more and more rumors about, like I said, the reinstitution of COVID mandates, but we can't reinstitute the Constitution for shit. How sad is that, man? What a sad state of affairs. Our founding fathers are rolling over in their graves. Their bones are rattling right now because of how bad it is, dude. I mean, they set up the perfect The perfect go well, I guess it's not the perfect government, being that, you know, the government kind of worked against itself in a way to garner more power. If that makes sense how I said that. But it's just sad. It really is a sad state of affairs we find ourselves in. You know, we get a bit of a dud. I don't see it. I don't see the election results being, you know, bad enough that, or blatant enough that it would call for, you know, something like a civil war, dare I say the word, or the words. But it just kind of leaves us sitting here going, shit, I didn't see that coming. Well, I mean, I kind of did, but I kind of didn't, you know. I don't feel good about it. Oh, excuse me. See, I told you I'm gonna have to get off, man. I get fucking tired. But I still want to mention a couple of things. One, there are still slave trade markets across the globe. Why do I say that? Well, because I don't want you to forget. I don't want to go out without trying to get people to recognize that we still have some serious problems in this world. I don't want to be one of those cunts that talks about things and doesn't, you know. I don't want to be somebody like the left who likes to use the backs of those who were slaves in the United States of America to their own benefit, these worthless opportunists who have many different skin colors. I don't want to be like them who, you know, want to blame people like me who had nothing to do with shit, but won't recognize or acknowledge that slavery is, you know, was not a unique thing to the United States of America. And it is still going on today, and they don't do dick all to even fucking call it out, that it's going on in all of these different countries, going on throughout all of South America, going on throughout all of, not all of Africa, and not all of South America either, but much of South America, much of Africa, much of the Middle East, much of China. You know, these people that they like to divide us from and try and make us go against one another. You know, I don't want to be like them. I want to call this out. And not just because I don't want to be like them. I want to call it out because it's right. And if you have any ideas, I believe that there's a question. I know for the last episode, Anchor sent out a survey about what did you think about the episode. I'm gonna have to, and they give me the ability to change the question. But if you could respond to that and let me know what I could do to make stuff better. Fucking DB Cooper tells me all the time, which I love. I don't have any problem with him telling me. I love that he gives me little quirks. Oh, by the way, it is November 15th. He told me to start putting in the date because I always forget to. But yeah, let me know what you think. You know, I'm sure you're probably just as annoyed and irritated at my losing track of thought, train of thought, oh, and my many of mistakes. So I apologize, but I don't. another thing I want to point out is that no one has been charged still from the Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein scandal or pedophile case or sex trafficking case, whatever you want to call it. Still no one. You know why? Because the people who are guilty are in office. And those judges that could try the case or could have or did try the case are either paid off or they're a part of it too. One of the two. Yeah, and something needs to be done about that. So, but unfortunately, nothing's going to be. Things are going to stay the same for a bit, and I guess we're just gonna have to wait and see until, again, it could be me. It's things are going to change when our discomfort level rises above our comfort level. And once that happens, then you will see change. Then you will see a resistance to the status quo. You'll see a change, a real change, not this bullshit hope and change from faggot ass Barack Obama and fucking the Democrat Party and the lackluster Republicans and all of that. You're going to see real change. You're going to see something more than Donald Trump. And let me point this out too, as I've done before. Although I've said all of those things in support of Donald Trump tonight, it's really not Donald Trump that I'm talking about. It's you and me. It's us. Donald Trump's just the face of it right now. But it was always us. He just had a match and he lit the fuse. That was it. It's us. It's how we understand the world should be. Don't forget that. That's all, folks. Until next time, be accountable, be responsible, don't be a bitch-ass liberal.